to receive weekly mailings of tapes or to sponsor a tape, call 718-375-1023.
Tonight's subject is really, whatever the fancy title we made up, it's really the importance of Chinuch HaBanim, the importance of bringing up our children properly. The Chafetz Chaim said that it's a mitzvah and even a greater duty for each and every one of us to set aside time to care for the education of our children in order to make sure they are brought up in the ways of our ancestors and rabbis. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson Zatzal, put it in proper perspective when he said, in the same way that tefillin is a daily mitzvah d'oraita, in the same way it's a mitzvah commandment to put on tefillin every day, so it is an absolute duty for all Jewish people to devote 1/2 hour a day to planning the education of their children. Mitzvah aseh d'oraita, he calls it. And it's not good enough to hire teachers to feed your children Torah information. The secret is to make our children realize and make our children feel that they are the next link, an essential link, in the unbroken train of tradition that we have from Har Sinai. We can't just tell them a story. The stories that link us to the past are part of our legacy and part of our future. And that's what we have to impart to our children. The founder of the yeshiva in Lakewood, of Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, he brings a Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Yud Gimel, where he says, Rabbi Ishmael said to Rabbi Meir, Hizaher b'melachtecha, be careful with your work, shemelachtecha melechet shamayim, because your job is the job of heaven. If you leave out, you skip one letter, or if you add one letter, you change something, you turn out to be a destroyer, a weapon of destruction. In Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, said, Kotvam Aluach Mitbecha, write these words on the blackboard, the luach of your heart. Yirmiyah Navi said, Natati Torati Mikivam Alibam Echtovena, I put my heart, I placed my heart in their midst, and on their hearts I will write them. We, the people who are teaching our children, are writing and engraving on their hearts and in their minds. And the responsibility is awesome. But Rav Aaron added, in this generation, and boy, he wrote this about 50 years ago, he said, in this year, that's the days of like Father Knows Best, was like a wild program. In this generation, he said, the task is double. We have to erase before we write. First, let's think, how are traditions transmitted? Moshe Rabbeinu puts it simply, She'al avicha v'yagevcha v'keinecha v'yomru lach. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will inform you. The fathers, that's the parents. The zikenim, that's the rabbis and the teachers. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is the home. We send our children to school to learn, but the primary source of learning for our children is the home. In the parasha that we just finished last week, Rivka and Yitzhak were subjected to mental suffering because Esav took the wrong wives. And those wives worshipped idols. And Yitzchak was very bothered, the Pasuk tells us, by the behavior of his daughters-in-law. Yet it doesn't say Rivka was so bothered. Why not? Our rabbis tell us that Rivka was raised in a house of idolatry. So although she left it, although she was apart from it, she was exposed to it, and it didn't bother her as much as Yitzchak, who was raised in the house of Abraham and Sarah. Now this event, where the Torah tells us Yitzchak was bothered, is 63 years after Rivka left the house. 63 years after she left the house, the fact that she saw Avodah Zarah in the house of Bethuel made her more tolerant of the evil in her own home. She was a 3-year-old little girl, but she was affected by what happened in her home. The Uvel, on the other hand, brings home Duda'eh, Duda'im, some type of flower that was very good as a, I guess, herbal remedy for a woman who wasn't able to have children. And he brings them home. Where does he bring them from? Only from the fields. Only from what we called hefker, ownerless property. Something he was permitted to bring home. Unlike Lot, who felt, I can let my sheep graze wherever they want. In the future, someday this will all be mine. Even though now it's not mine. What was the difference between Reuven and Lot? Reuven was raised in the house of Yaakov, who dealt with the wickedness and the crookedness of Lavan in a purely honest way. So this young boy, and the Midrash tells him he was 4 years old, had no thought of taking or touching anything that didn't belong to him or wasn't available for anybody to take. Because he was an honest person because of what he saw in his home. The emet of Yaakov, the emet, the truthfulness and the honesty of his father affected him even at that early age. There's another man who turned out to be very wicked. His name was Menashe HaMelech. Menashe HaMelech was an idolater for many years. In fact, he introduced such a degree of idolatry into the Jewish people during his reign that eventually his reign as king brought about the eventual destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch had a remedy. Let me send the king of Assyria. Let him capture Menashe and take him away. And so he did. And Menashe was captured, and in a scene out of a cartoon probably, it's hard to believe that he was put in a pot, a cauldron, and they started to boil him, like cooking a person alive. He saw himself in such a frightfully dangerous situation that he called out to the idols to help him. That was his way, and of course to no avail. Finally, in desperation, he remembered what his father, Hezkiyahu, the tzaddik, used to read him as a child in shul. He used to read him a Gemara Yerushalmi. In times of trouble, when all these misfortunes befall you, at the end of days, you shall turn to Hashem your God and listen to His voice, for He is merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you, nor will He forget the covenant which He swore to your forefathers. Please turn off the phone. It's the standard line of all speakers now. Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbat classes. This was said to him when he was a child. After all the years of idolatry, when push came to shove and he was in a pinch, he remembered those words of his childhood. He was a great Talmid Chacham, but he turned the wrong way. What he remembered at the end of his life in the pot, in danger, was what his father taught him as a child. The home influence is what's important. In fact, the Gemara tells us a story in Sukkah about Miriam. Miriam was from a family of Kohanim Bulga. And she did Lo Aleinu something no child should ever do. She rejected her family and she married a Greek, a Goy. Daughter of a Kohen in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. When the Greeks entered the Beit HaMikdash in the period of Hanukkah, and she also went in, and she kicked the Mizbeach. And she yelled out at Lucas, Lucas. Many people heard this, Mr. Yumin. She yelled out, Wolf, Wolf, how long are you going to eat the meat of the people of Israel? And she cursed in his bath the altar. After the Hashmonaim came, and this is the season for this story, and defeated the Greeks, the Hashmonaim heard about what happened that day. And they imposed sanctions and restrictions on her family. And they were not allowed to enter the Beit HaMikdash. So the question asked is, why should her family be punished? She was the one who did it. Let her be punished. And the Gemara answers, in the name of Abaye, of course they should be impeached. People say that whatever child says in the street, he must have heard from his father or mother. Gemara, not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. Whatever a child does publicly, he probably saw at home. The home is the place where most of the learning takes place. You see, in school, they're taught lessons. But at home, they absorb information consciously and subconsciously. Children imitate their parents. I saw in one of the Chinuch books I used to research this class, a story about a woman who bought the children on a rainy day one of those tea sets. And when she went down to the basement playroom to check on the kids to see if they were behaving or if they were killing each other, you know, 50-50, she didn't know what was going to be going on. When she got downstairs, she stood silently with her mouth open as she watched her daughters, all girls, imitate the Shabbat table. One was the father, one was the mother, the other were the children. There were 4, 5, 6 children down there. And she watched as the one imitating the mother turned to the children and gave them a mean look, pointing at them to behave, while daddy, who was standing with the kiddush cup, was trying to get their attention as they misbehaved. And all the little nuances of what she saw at her Shabbat table every night, she saw the children imitating. And she realized the very important principle of chinuch habanim. You're living with spies. You don't need KGB, CIA, FBI to have spies. They're all in your house. You know how when the house is noisy, you want quiet? The best thing you could say is you say, did you hear what happened today? And suddenly those rowdy children have ears that come out like horns. Or they make like they're ignoring you, but they're listening. We see children grow up to run their homes in a very similar fashion to the way their parents did. It's one of the things people worry about when they make shidduchim. They ask questions about the parents, assuming that the children will be the same. And many times, not always, many times they're right. You know, in the book Yad HaZakah, the Halakha book of Harambam, he stresses the importance of choosing the right friends and the right neighbors and living in the right places and even having to go out to the desert and live alone if you can't find a suitable crowd to spend your time with. But our children can't select. They have to live with us. So we should at least select the right society for them. And even more so, we should make sure that we are the right society for them. The quality of the home influence will depend on the parents' conscious efforts to create an atmosphere which will produce a well-balanced adult. But even a more powerful example is the unconscious example that people set. Let's face it. Example is a much better teacher than preaching. The Zohar says on that famous line from Kriyat Shema, "V'nimadetem otam et benechem," and you shall teach the words of Torah to your children, your sons. "V'dibarta bam," you should speak in them. "V'shivtecha b'veitecha," the Zohar says, when do we teach our children? And the Zohar answers, when we are sitting in our homes. How we behave influences them. So watch out. Your personality, your values, and your conduct is a much greater teacher than the one you're getting for $8,000 to $10,000 a month per child. So the top lesson I can give is working on your own midot is the best insurance policy for good children. Working on yourself is the best way to improve your children. Hashem says, I love Abraham. Because I see him commanding his family and his children after him to go in the ways of Hashem. And we look up and down. All through Sefer Bereshit. And Abraham Avinu never commands his heart to go in the ways of Hashem. So how did he do it? He did it by example. And never think your children is a mistake people make. He's young. Soon. I'll start when he's old enough to understand. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai had 5 students. One was Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah. And the Gemara, the Mishnah says about him, Ashrei Yoladto. How fortunate is the one who gave birth to him. His mother took him to the Bet Midrash in his baby carriage as an infant and sat the carriage outside the door so he could hear that noise of people learning Torah. He wanted it to go, she wanted it to be absorbed into his being so that's what he loved. I was once in a class in Eretz Yisrael, Zocher to hear this from Chacham Avadia live. He said, many people think that it's very important to have what we call a mobile attached to the baby's crib for eye-hand coordination. And they're right. It's correct. It's very important to have such a thing to train the child in those physical aspects. He said, however, why is it the music is silly gore music? Why don't we have a mobile that sings Tehillim or recites the Mishnah or says, Az Yashir Moshe. Good item, everybody. Who's going to China tomorrow? Go make it. Sell it. Where the child's ears are filled with things from our Masoret rather than things imposed upon us by the outside world. We have to be careful what they hear and what they see from infancy and how we behave in their presence from infancy. A parent who loses their temper, his or her temper, cannot teach patience. A haughty parent cannot teach humility. And a parent who lies cannot teach honesty. The child will inherit the parent's personality. So it's very important to avoid mistake number 2. Mistake number 2 is called self-contradiction. There's a difference between me and you. If the child feels that, it's very dangerous. Because the child then believes, okay, so I have to act this way now, but when I grow up, I'll be able to act like daddy or mommy. For example, daddy's in shul, yapping away with the man next to him. And he turns to his son, who's talking to his friend, and says, don't talk in shul. So the kid is quiet for a minute or two, if you're lucky. And all he's thinking in that minute is, when I grow up, I'll be able to talk also. The phone rings. Tell him I'm not home. But you have to tell the truth. Someone's at the door. You don't feel like giving that dollar tonight. You're a little tired. Tell him I'm not home. I don't have to give tzedakah if I don't want to. In fact, I can send somebody to cover up for me. The lesson, all the schmoozing in the world cannot beat those visual examples of how you behave. You see, Yaakov Avinu was truthful to the umpteenth degree. And he was the one to be zocheh to have 12 perfect children. His doorbell rang, he answered it. If he wasn't available, he said, I'm not available. If he didn't feel like giving, he said, not today. but he didn't lie. He didn't say something untruthful so that his children would feel it's okay. That was a lesson learned from Yitzchak from Abraham and Yaakov from Yitzchak. How I behave will influence my children. Now you can be sure that Yitzchak behaved in the way of his father with Hachnasat Orchim. But the Torah does not feel it's necessary to tell us that. All we have to know is he lived in the house with Abraham. Now some people top out, and that brings them to mistake number three. Mistake number three is I'm not good enough. I have so many weaknesses of my own. How could I be a good parent? Really, no one is perfect. But don't give up. It's a matter of general attitude which matters. Specific details are less crucial. For example, what priorities do you have in your life? Money or mitzvot? Whom do you praise? The successful businessman or the Torah giant? There's a pasuk that says, "Mitzaref laketef." There's something that purifies silver. "Vikula zahav." There's a different type of instrument, hot, boiling place for purifying gold. The ish lefi mahalelo, and a person according to mahalelo like halel the praises. Mishle. Rashi and the Targum say we can judge a person by his reputation. See what people say about someone by the praises or lack of them that others say about him. But Rabbeinu Yonah explains this pasuk differently. He says a man is judged by that which he praises. If a person is sitting at the dinner table and his talk is about the biggest business deal that he heard about, or the guy who bought the fancy car, or his neighbor who scored a fantastic score in golf. I said, "Hi, hello, I don't know how to play golf." Whatever it is, the fantastic number you're supposed to score in golf. That's what he praises. The children learn it's money and golf that's important. If the father sits down and the wife says, "So what's doing today?" "You can't believe this rabbi who came to my office. We put a pin on the Gemara. He could spot the word 22 pages later. He was like a computer. What a giant. And he has a place that he built of Torah. I can't believe it. I stopped working for an hour. I couldn't take it. He was talking and talking. I called everybody." This is what's great in this world. Can you imagine this man? When I go to Israel, in other words, you're talking about Torah. That's what impresses you. Your children say, that's what's important. And it's the same for women. Women are not exempt from this lesson giving. You have to understand your general attitude towards decorating and dressing and what you say about other people and what you admire. If someone goes home tonight and says, "What a beautiful bake sale and Chinese auction. This one who did it is such a fine person. I admire how much time she put in and how beautiful it came out." The child says, "Chesed is what I should admire." If you go home tonight and you talk about the moldings and the paintings on the ceilings and how nice the house was, that's what they're going to say. It's nice to have a nice house, but is that what's important? Or is the chesed that was done here important? Your priorities and whom you praise is what your children will praise. It's also true that Rav Moshe Feinstein, Alav HaShalom, Zecher Kadosh Berurcha, was asked, "How come in such a short time after leaving Europe, the most frum families, the most observant families, lost their children to assimilation?" Rav Moshe, in his wisdom, said it's because of the way they reacted to their mitzvot. The children really admired their parents. Children really look up to their parents. But the parents came to America, and the father who was told, "If you don't come to work on Shabbat, don't come on Monday for your paycheck," and lost his job every other week, and came home and said, "Life is so difficult." The person who says, "Oh, let's go away for Pesach, I can't stand cleaning." The person who says, "Sukkot is such a job, till I find a lulav, till I find an etrog. I don't have time, I'm so tired, I'm so busy." When the child feels that the mitzvot are a pain in the neck, that they're expensive, that it's too difficult to keep up with Hashem's standards, and they look at the person, the two people they admire most, complaining and saying how difficult it is, they get yush, they give up, says Rav Moshe. They say to themselves, if my holy parents, my perfect parents couldn't keep the Torah, how could measly old me do it? And they chuck it off. We have to have attitude of simcha in the house. Doing mitzvot is wonderful. Having a holiday is great. Get excited. Hanukkah is coming. Hanukkah is coming. Take out the silver and donate your paw. Oh, the silver's black again. It's a full day job. Where's the stuff? Oh, where is the stuff? I gotta go buy the stuff. My friend has his secret how to do it, but it didn't work. I gotta call out. And the oil. Should I get the oil that's the easy oil? The oil that you break off the top? The oil that you pour in the top? Should I get wicks? What am I gonna? Oh, I don't want olive oil. Just give me that box of candles they mailed me from Pell's. Is that how you react to Hanukkah? Let me tell you a true story. I went, got to be now 11 or 12 years ago. I know how old my son was, I could tell you. It was when he was 12. So it's about 12 years ago or 13 years ago. I went to Eretz Yisrael, and the first night of Hanukkah was the night I was leaving. 5 days, 6 days before that, I drove to Bnei Brak with my friends, rabbi friends, and my son to go see Rav Shach. Alav Shalom. We came in, he wasn't feeling well, but we had called in advance, we're from Chutz La'aretz, he agreed to see us. It was late at night, and there were people in there speaking to him. So we waited outside, in the room adjacent to the room he was in. His grandson came to us and said, would you like to learn Torah? And we said, we might as well while we wait. So he takes us into the next room, and it was a room, but it wasn't the library, and it wasn't a room full of sefarim. It was a room by a window facing the street. And on that windowsill was a Hanukkah menorah with one oil and a shamosh next to it. And he says, that's Torah. My grandfather set that up 10 days ago. He can't wait to light. He can't wait for Hanukkah to come. Every day he comes in and looks and he gets excited that Hanukkah is one day closer. He said, that's Torah. When you get excited to do the mitzvah. So we have the people that left the religion, Rav Moshe tells us, because the parents complained. And we have the grandson of Rav Shach keeping the ways of Torah and saying, look at Torah, my grandfather can't wait to light. How do we react to mitzvot? Mistake number four. This is very important. Never put down the teachers and rabbis you entrust your children to. Never, ever, ever talk negatively about the school or the rabbis in front of your children. There's a trap. The child come home unhappy. The child tells you the Rebbe did this or the teacher did that. And immediately, to console your child, you agree. I'll call, I'm going to find out, that. And then you make a second mistake. Your husband comes home, and you say, you know what Rosenberg did today? Because your child is unhappy, he's not a rabbi anymore. Never call your children's teachers by their last name. Cohen, Rosenberg, Schneider. No. It's a rabbi. It's a mora. It's a person that you have to treat with respect so that your child will treat them with respect. You can't come out with statements. Why didn't they send home a note? There's no bus today. The school never does anything right. Child says, I agree. That school never does anything. We should have a longer recess. Mistake number five. Disciplining children is a very important part of life. The one who holds back the rod hates their child. But you have to learn how to do this. It's correct to say lying is unacceptable behavior. It's not acceptable to say you are a liar. The child is not bad. The behavior is not acceptable. We can eliminate the behavior without destroying the child. And another thing, my good friend, those who read my emails know I admire Avi Shulman a lot. He once said, discipline and criticism are like pepper. A little bit is good, too much spoils the soup. Discipline is good in doses, like pepper. Guy comes, he twists once, twice, by the third one he thumbs up, that's enough. You have to know how much to discipline a child. Because we don't want to destroy the child. We want to fix the child. And we should always discipline in a positive manner. Rabbi Fish will tell you that the Ashkenazim have a wonderful expression called ispashnis. Did I pronounce it right? Yeah. What does it mean? It's beneath you. Meaning, a good boy like you, to say something like that, I'm surprised. You're such a good boy to fail a test like that. You're so smart. How come? What happened? Not you're a dummy, you failed the test, you're a bad boy, you said this. Lift up the child and say that the behavior that you did, the way you acted, is beneath you, you special person, you. Give them the self-esteem to want to perform. You criticize sparingly, and you'll be successful. Rav Gedal Yeshua said, it says, Ocheach, tochiach et amitecha. Certainly reprove your friend. Velo titsa alav chetz. And don't place the burden of a sin upon him. But really it says, Lo titsa alav chetz in the first person, as if you're saying, and you should not carry a sin for him. Rav Shor says, Lo titsa, titsa means lift up. Don't magnify the sin. Don't magnify the behavior of the negative. Always look at it in a way that the child can handle it. Here's a tough one. You want to have good children? You have to have shalom bayit. Shalom bayit means peace in the home. Like your daddy and mommy like each other, don't they? And they always treat each other nicely. That's good for the children. Shalom bayit, the respect that parents show for each other is the respect children will have for their spouse. Is the respect they'll have for their teachers. The respect they have for the employees will come from the way you behave in the house and the atmosphere in the house. One of respect. Respect your parents. Your children will respect you. You know, in the old days, not so long ago, Jiddo and Tepe lived in the house. Got married, grandparents lived in one place, one room, children in the other, the grandchildren in another. We didn't have these luxuriously 9,500 square foot kitchens. We all lived in a small space. There was a lineup for the bathroom in the morning. 8, 9 children had to get to school on time. They all used the same sink. And people lived more than one generation in the home. And the benefit of that was children saw how their parents treated their parents. The way parents treated their parents was the way the children treated the sandwich generation. Today, they're in Florida. We're here. We don't have the opportunity to teach. But when we do have contact, on holidays, on days when we're in shul together, on days when we go to visit, people lose their temper or short temper. They don't have patience for their elderly parents. The children won't have patience for you. You have to understand, they're watching. They have X-ray vision. They see through walls. They have that thing where you can hear. There's a thing you put on your ears and you can hear something across the room. They have it, and they're watching. You have to respect your rabbis. It's so wonderful the way everybody respects Chacham Yosef. Because the people who see it, the children who see the way the parents respect the Rosh Yeshiva, they're the ones. Somebody put their children in Ashkenaz Yeshiva. And I asked him, how come? Not there's anything wrong with it. I said, how come you did it? He said, well, I went to visit because they wanted me to give tzedakah. And I could not believe the way the children treated the Rosh Yeshiva. The older children were so afraid to approach. And the younger children looked at him like a malach that they didn't even want to talk to him. Because they looked in awe and respect at the man who led their yeshiva for his greatness in Torah and for being their leader. And I wanted my children to grow up in that atmosphere of respect. When you relate, and you relate to things around you, you have to respect the things around you. You have to relate positively to your society. No lashon hara. Lashon hara is true. There's a lot of things wrong out there. But we're not supposed to talk about other people negatively. Even if it's true. That's lashon hara. Don't complain all the time. See the good in everything. My full glass of water is now half full. It's not half empty. You have to always look at what you have, not what you don't have. Don't put down the neighbors. Don't put down your family. Don't put down your co-workers. It's a negative attitude that your children will pick up. My Rav Miller point, Alav HaShalom, is live a life of simcha. If anybody ever went to that Gadol's house, you would think this man would be depressed all day long. You open the refrigerator, there's nothing in it. The closets have enough to get through today. Tomorrow we'll get to tomorrow. The furniture. People have gone to Israel, right? You go to all the Gedolim for Berachot. I want somebody to raise their hand if they're the one who is the exception to this rule. I guarantee you, when you visit a Gadol and they take you into their home, no two chairs match. There's a table and there's chairs. They don't match. Right or wrong? No decorator put together that room. I'm thinking back to that time I did visit Rav Shach with all the fancy mahogany bookcases and cherry bookcases I see in Brooklyn. He had some bent steel shelving. You know that stuff with, you know, steel shelving. And I had some sifarim on it. The only difference between him, he didn't need the shelving because the heads were, books were in his head. But we put up the fancy shelving, not realizing that that's the new standard for my children. Rabbi Fran once said, be careful with what you buy. Your luxuries are your children's necessities. He tells a fabulous story. His refrigerator broke. And one of his pet peeves, like most people who lived in an earlier generation, was if you have ice trays, when the children take out the ice tray, they take out the ice, but they never put the water back and never put the tray back in the refrigerator. So the refrigerator broke, and the Rebbetzin and Rabbi Fran went down to the appliance store, and as they went through, what would you like? Well, we have a small place, we can't have a big one, and they're giving the requirements, and then he says, would you like an ice maker? And Rabbi Fran asked, what's an ice maker? In my house, I'm the ice maker. Nobody else fills the trays. He says, well, let me show you. And he takes them over and he shows them the ice. You open it up, comes out through the door, you sit there. His eyes, as if he just figured out the Peshat and the Rashba. He lit up. Wow. Is that expensive? He says, no, actually, none of the refrigerators come with it. You're probably going to spend $25 to $50 more on your refrigerator. He looks at the Rebbetzin. He says, if you like it, it's nice. If you want to get it, go ahead. As if he's been a good boy lately. She'll get it for him. And she said, but Yosefa, I want you to realize your luxury will be your children's necessity. My children don't know what an ice tray is. But fortunately, we go to our house in Long Branch every summer, and there we have ice trays. And I am the ice maker. Every time you step up, you're upgrading the life your children have to lead. And time is running out. So this book, which is about 200 pages of chinuch, stories, lessons, I want you to know something very important. Your children don't belong to you. Your children are on loan to you. You have a responsibility to Hashem to return them in better shape than the way He lent them to you. He gives you children. You have approximately 18 or 20 years. Some mothers would like to think it's 90, but it's not more. Suddenly the shotgun's calling up, phone's ringing, and you're visiting the grandchildren in your children's home. And now they're the parents. You got that time period to bring up the proper children. The wisdom of Mishle is Chanoch et ha'nar al-pi darko. Educate the child according to his way. Gam ki yaskin lo yasu mimen. For even when he grows old, he will not depart from the training you give him. Rabbi Shlomo Breuer Zatzal says, educate the child according to his own way. Because when he grows up, he will not depart from his own way. In other words, when a child has a certain nature given to him by or her by Hashem, that child's particular temperament, that child's personality, that child's talents, that child's weaknesses, that's the package you have to work with. Those features of the personality will be with that child for life. Our job is to work with those traits, not against them. To build a child, not destroy it. By working on discovering our child and then working with what we've got. Every child is different, even within your own family. There's no rule how to raise a child. But the best rule is to understand who your child is and work with what you've got. The Gemara tells us that if a child is born under a certain sign, the one that Gemara uses is Ma'adin, the red sign, which I believe is the planet Mars in astrology. If that's the influence at the time the child is born, the child will be a blood spiller. So the Gemara then outlines the possibilities. Says he will either be a murderer or a mohel. But he will be a blood spiller. Meaning, that's the child. Turn it into a positive. Whatever the child's personality is, mental strengths and weaknesses are, work with that. If you don't have a shortstop, he doesn't know how to play ball, you don't have a shortstop. If you don't have a Tamid Chacham, you don't have one. Make the best of what you have, but don't create a frustrated child by imposing your dreams on him. Sometimes we want something that's not good for the child, because we're frustrated that we never became that. You can't make a child what he's not. You can develop a child to be the best person he or she is. So discover your child, learn who or she is, not who you would like them to be. Then work with their talents and personality, and you'll raise a well-adjusted child. I'm going to stop here with a little story. Oh, I got so many. But the Hafez Chaim said that success with children is 100% based on Siyata Dishmaya, divine help. And all the efforts that we expend are only so that when we come before Hashem, we can claim that we tried. Ultimately, success is in Hashem's hands. Therefore, my friends, says the Chafetz Chaim, remember, one must really pray for his children. They found the Tehillim of the Chafetz Chaim's mother. The pages were hard to read from the tears that were shed over those pages of Tehillim. And the Chafetz Chaim himself said, those tears produce me. Cry and pray for the success of your children, and Hashem will give you what it takes to succeed. Amen. Amen.